Live from the studios of KTAR News 92.3 FM, it's the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show with Brian Whitfield. Everything you need to know to grow. Call Brian with your questions at 602-277-5827. That's 602-277-5827. The Whitfield Nursery Garden Show, now on KTAR News 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
We're here, we're live, and the clouds are beautiful here at Sunny Slope. Very welcome. You know, the one typical good thing is after we have a day of 114 or a couple of 112s, it usually does bring in some moisture, and it looks like that's going to happen this week. In fact, it's just a glorious forecast. You know, later in the week, we're supposed to be 102 and 75, and plants are going to love that. The nurseries will be happy, our workers will be happy, and hopefully you'll enjoy it as well. And, you know, perhaps we'll get some rain. It certainly can happen, and we got a pretty good shower last weekend down at our farm in Hyder. In fact, we didn't have any doves for our dove hunt hardly at all because the rain scared them all off, but it was still a beautiful time. Anyway, welcome to the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show. We could talk about the landscape of your dreams, your nightmares, how to grow it, why to grow it. If you have solutions for some of our problems, we would love to hear from you on those as well. Plenty of things to do here in our landscape. We are in a subtropical region, yes, and the clouds out there this morning, they're looking a little more tropical. We love that. But at any rate, whatever you think you want to talk about or you want to grow, we've certainly had our problems this summer with the heat, but those things are kind of going away. And, you know, the days are going to get shorter and the nights are going to get cooler and plants will be happy once again. This is a listener participation program. It looks like the phone lines are ringing, folks. In fact, they're ringing so much that once Shira gets them all answered, we'll have a full board. So we'll get right to the phones. We have the lovely Shira here on Phones and Music. We have Mr. Troy Barrett on the news. And I'm Brian with the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show. Edna in Scottsdale, good morning. Hello, Edna. I bet it. Good morning.
Brian?
Yes?
I was down at your Glendale store and bought two new trees.
Wonderful.
And Mark and his entourage arrived on May 15th and told me to water twice a week, which I did faithfully. But he said to do something after September. And that's the reason for my call, because I forgot to write it down.
And what variety of trees did you plant?
Okay, I bought a Fantax Ash, is that right? Mm-hmm. And a Naval Orange.
Okay, so yeah, pretty much now as the weather cools down, you can go to weekly watering. Okay.
Just once a week.
Once a week, nice and deep, okay? And it's important to get the water down to a depth of 2 or 3 feet. They should have wells around the trees.
They do. They did a wonderful job. What are those white things they threw in for fertilization? It looked like white mothballs.
Well, they look like mothballs, but what they are is they're a slow-release fertilizer tablet.
Well, they sure worked, and they survived 118, 19 temperature.
Well, I think a lot of that had to do with your good care.
Well, I ran it real slow because I've heard over the 20 years I've listened to you that to run it real slow overnight, and boy, it really works. But I ran them for 2 to 3 hours a day, twice a week.
Yeah, so let's stay at the 2 to 3 hours, but we can change it to once a week. As soon as what's going to really make a big difference is this week we're supposed to have temperatures like 100, 102, and then the night times are going to cool off. And
That's the best news I've heard for a month.
Well, I was looking at the forecast yesterday morning and just smiling. But
one other question, if I may, Brian, when I come in to get some more fertilizer next week, I love that OrganoPro. It mm-hmm. just makes my tree smile. And when I get, do you have some bougainvilleas? Is it a good
absolutely.
Time to plant
it's
bougainvilleas?
It's a great time to plant bougainvilleas, and it's the perfect time to fertilize those new trees again, too.
Oh, now what can I use to fertilize those new trees?
The OrganoPro citrus food would be excellent.
Oh, okay.
They can't Shall read. Do. They don't know it, but they like it.
okay, well, I want you to know they survived. Your trees are the best.
Well, thank you, Ed. We appreciate it.
Okay, Brian. Thank you so much.
Have a nice Sunday. Bye-bye. Melanie and Chandler. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Brian. Glorious morning to you. I am in Scottsdale today helping at the folks' house, getting the yard set up for autopilot with the water.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a variety of trees. Each is over 10 years old, but I'm wondering if they should be on the same watering schedule and quantity of water. Mesquite, Texas, Help me with the words here. Texas
Mount Allen. Laurel or Texas Ebony?
Ebony. Ebony. It's the Texas Ebony. Uh-huh. There's a Chinese elm, a shoestring acacia, and a mesquite.
Yeah, so those are all very compatible on the same water system. You know, what's really great about those trees, too, is you can turn off and on how much moisture they're using and transpiring and how much they'll actually cool your yard down by watering extra when it's really hot. But it looks like really hot's going to end after today. So I would say at the most frequent, you need to water them is weekly. Okay. And by October, you can go to once every 2 weeks. And then pretty much November, you know, all the way through March, you can water those heavy once a month and they'll be fine.
Okay, and I'm changing out the heads on the bubblers, and a couple of them have multiple, just a quarter-inch PVC emitter type thing. Uh-huh. What gallonage would be good for those
trees? Well, the key is when you're watering, you want to water very deep, okay? And so it's going to take maybe with a multiple port emitter, that's what they call the ones that come out like out of a hard pipe, and then they have multiple like a spaghetti come out of them. You know, you could run those for several hours. So depending on how many heads you have and how large the tree is, but probably a couple hours at least. And like I said, you can change that if the weather, you know, keeps cooling, and we certainly hope that it does because the days are getting shorter, then you could go to once every 2 weeks here probably by the 1st of October.
Okay, I'll put jars on each one and kind of figure out that mass and we'll get it.
That's a great way. Yeah, if you know what your system puts out, that's fantastic.
Okay, and then the other question, there are some bougainvillea and which are very well established. And some oleander, they're the pink flower oleander, slightly dwarf. And then there have been added some new ones of those this year. With the really hot temperatures, what time of year would you recommend for this year to cut those back so they still have that beautiful winter bloom?
With the bougainvillea, it's a great call, but with this time of year, we really want to prune our bougainvilleas back, because if we prune them now, they have enough time to grow and fill out and produce the beautiful bracts and color for the winter. You know, and truthfully, bougainvilleas are as pretty here as anywhere on the planet, you know, when they're maintained properly. And if you'll cut them right now, cut them back as severely as you like, they should be in bloom again in about 6 weeks. We'll have enough heat through the end of October for them to come back and regrow and bloom. And then don't cut them again till March.
Okay, nice. And last question, please. The food cabinet over here for plants has Organa Pro Citrus Fish Emulsion and Super Thrive. Mm-hmm. When it cools a little bit more, is Organa Pro Citrus good all around?
It would be fine now, Melanie. It really, because it's a little slower release, you can fertilize now and it'll give you a nice fall flush for everything.
Okay, boy, I sure appreciate your help. We're going to keep it looking lovely over here.
Well, happy Sunday, Melanie. Take care.
Thank you. Happy Sunday.
Bye-bye. Cam in Scottsdale, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Was calling about an Arizona ash tree. I have a AZ ash tree. It's in rock. I've been watering it. I put the hose on it for about 4 hours last week, and about 2 weeks ago, I put the hose on it for about 4 hours as well, but apparently it wasn't enough. The tree is dying. About 70% of the tree is brown leaves, and there's one trunk that comes out of it that's still got some green leaves on it. I'm trying to figure out if it's savable or not.
Well, how old is the tree?
Gosh, it's probably at least 20 years old.
Okay. So it probably is savable, you know. And really the damage was done back in July whenever it was exceedingly hot for a long period of time. And you can prune it back. What I would do with it right now is fertilize it. With like the citrus food, it would be great. You know, go ahead and feed it right now. See what flushes out. And then, you know, after you get some flush on it, which you should have happen between now and the end of October, come back this winter and just prune all the dead off and reduce its size. But as long as it's got some viability to it and you reduce its size, you might even need to protect the trunk some, because now the canopy's gone and the trunk is subject to sunburning. But you can just see what comes out and make a decision later in the fall. But for right now, feed it and make sure it's deep watered. And you're not going to really overwater an ash. So if you water it heavy once a week, that'd be great.
Okay, so what, leave the hose on it for another
couple hours,
like,
yeah,
hours or something overnight.
Yeah, a few hours. Okay. Overnight slow is fine, but yeah, give it the extra water, recharge the ground, give it a little fertilizer to grow on, and just see what the Lord brings to the leaves.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks again. Bye bye. Lucy in Phoenix. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning, Brian. I am sorry to say that my rosewood tree or bush got away from me, and I didn't know it was, someone told me it was dead out there, and I've had it for about 40, 45 years, and it's always been so easily cared for. Mm-hmm. And so someone said there's a little green on one side. Is there any hope of saving it?
Well, Lucy, very much just like the last caller. What I would do is get a soaker hose or a way to really deep water it, okay,
right,
and then fertilize it. And do both those things right now and see what comes back out. It's pretty hard to kill one. I would imagine that down out of the wood, you know, lower in the tree, it's going to regenerate some foliage and come back out. And as soon as it gets leafed out and really starts to come back, you'll have to have someone come in and do some corrective pruning on it.
Yeah, I was just wondering, just leave the whole tree as it is now and until I really see any.
Leave it until the end of October anyway.
Okay, and one other thing, on my bougainvillea, I have the torch glow. I thought you told me to leave those like Actea.
I personally really prefer them that way, Lucy. Maybe a little thinning on the pruning, but I like to grow them large. Their natural form, because it's just a very unique plant, different than all other bougainvilleas, and that beautiful form is something I really admire personally.
It is. It really is cool. Okay, Brian, thanks so very much.
Have a nice weekend, Lucy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back with Lee in Scottsdale, Dave in Gilbert, but if you'd like to be after Dave, all you have to do is give the lovely Shira a call. Now, we're not going to give you your home number, but you can call her in the studio. So the number for Shira here, 602-277-5827, 277-KTR for the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show. We're here every Sunday from 7 to 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM, KTAR.
I heard she sang a good song. I heard she had a style. And so I came to see her. Listen for a while. And there she was, this young girl, a stranger to my eyes, drumming my pain with her fingers, singing my life with her words, killing me softly with her song, killing me softly with her song. Telling my whole life with her words, killing me softly with her song.
Well, welcome back, folks. Beautiful Sunday morning here in Sunny Slope. The clouds over the hills are fantastic. I know it's supposed to get warm, but warm and shady under the clouds certainly beats hot and sunny. Anyway, we'll get right back to the phones. We got Lee in Scottsdale, Dave, Paul, and then it could be you. All I have to do is give us a call at 602-277-5827, 277-KTAR. Good morning, Lee.
Yeah, good morning. Say, I have a 35-year-old grapefruit tree, which this summer has really done a number on dying back, and one section, like an entire wedge, has died. And maybe 3 weeks ago, there was a gentleman who called in who described his grapefruit tree doing that, and I said, that sounds exactly like mine. So I did take the suggestions you gave him, that Monterey disease control and some Super Thrive. And also when I came in, they thought that with the canopy dying back, the sun was scorching the bark. So I wrapped that. So my question is, when I read about Monterey's disease control, which I put around the base in the well. It says you can also spray that on.
Yes,
and I have an old sprayer. Mm-hmm. Can I safely spray the canopy of that tree?
Absolutely. What you would want to do, you could just put like a hose in sprayer or tank sprayer, just make sure it didn't have any herbicide in it, and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that is very advantageous. The other thing you'd probably want to do, Lee, which you didn't mention, is go ahead and fertilize it right now.
Okay.
And typically, if they're really, you know, that severely damaged, it's probably easier to paint the wood on the tree to protect it. But the wrap is better, so that's fine if you got the wood protected. And go ahead and prune off the dead. I mean, everything that's dead is not helping anything. And if you reduce the tree size and balance it, this is the time of year. We have absolutely perfect citrus growing weather the end of this week. You know, it's going to be 102 and 75, so the trees get a rest, but it's warm enough for them to really grow. And it should pop out some new buds and leaves this week and start to repair itself.
I've just seen that grow, some brand new growth, maybe an inch long, just on the ends of some of the.
Well, and I think you'll see a lot more, but that's why I would go ahead and prune and balance it right now, so that as it comes out, you can take advantage of all that new growth and have a nicely formed tree once more.
I have one more question. When that grapefruit was planted, it is planted next to a lemon tree, and frankly, probably too close because the canopy is now grow into each other, and I keep trimming back the lemon so it doesn't overtake the grapefruit. And I think I heard you describe at your nursery, don't you trim back citrus pretty heavily some time of the year? So
what we do commercially in our commercial orchards, Lee, is we're cutting one portion of the tree every year. So we'll top the trees. We have a big hedging machine because we have hundreds of, you know, literally thousands of trees to cut. So it's like a big lawnmower. We mow the tops of the trees off.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and cut one side 1 year and let that grow and fruit more, and the other side the next year. And that way we can keep vigorous, healthy trees. Now, at home, where you have more time to prune, if you'll open up the interior part of the canopy to get a little light, not directly burning the trunk, but if you'll reduce the size of the tree and open up the interior, the very best quality lemons are going to be on the inside of the tree. And if there's enough light there for it to bloom in the spring, you'll find you get some just fantastic lemons more inside the tree. You know, we would do it commercially, but I just can't afford to.
Yeah. If I want to top it off like your lawnmower concept or your citrus, when is the best time of year to do that?
You can prune a citrus tree pretty much any time as long as you're not exposing wood to the sun. So those vigorous shoots that jump right out of the top, if you want to prune some of those out now, no reason not to.
Okay. Perfect.
Thanks, Lee.
All right. Well, thank you.
Have a nice weekend. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Dave and Gilbert. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Brian. How are you?
Oh, enjoying the morning. This, you know, this is my favorite studio because I get to sit here and look at the mountains I climbed in all the time when I was younger. Probably should go back to doing some more of it again now.
Hey, I got a question for you about some queen palms. A couple weeks ago when we had this last storm, the spear or new growth spear in the middle has just folded over and hanging down on the side of the tree. I thought nothing of it. I thought it's probably from the high winds. But this morning when I came out, the other queen palm, beautiful green growth out of the center that's starting to open up, and it's just falling over and laying against the side of the tree.
Dave, if you remember that hot weather we had 3 years ago in August, I would say 20% of the queen palms in Gilbert died. And the reason why they die is, number one, they get stressed. But after they're stressed, they get a fungus in the crown. And the fungus will eat right down through the tree and can be lethal. So what I would do is I would treat them with a combination of Monterey disease control and copper sulfate. And it's best applied, you know, some poured right down the crown and then also put through the soil. And it goes both ways. It goes up through the plant systemically. But if you can get it contacted and pour it down in the crown, that will really help arrest and kill the fungus.
Okay, so there's still a chance of saving them.
If they've got some foliage on them, they're not dead. But that bud, part that's, you know, basically failing in the center is the growing point. And so that's why you pour the fungicide right down the crown, okay?
Gotcha.
And that way with the copper, you're using basically copper, which is a poison. And the other one, the Monterey disease control, is a bacteria that eats fungus. So you're kind of getting the full, you know, full mode of both types of prevention.
Okay. Thanks. Yes. Any time of day or?
No, you can put it on whenever you want to. But I mean, it's just a matter of getting up to some of the crowns on these bigger queen palms can be difficult.
Yeah, they're about 7 years old. They're not too bad. So, okay.
And you do want to make sure you keep the copper off your hands. You know, too much coffer is pretty toxic. Okay, thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
Paula in Phoenix. Good morning, Paula.
Hi, Brian. Love your show. I have a neighbor question. There's a Palo Verde tree between my property and my neighbor's property. My neighbor is kind of a new homeowner, and this Palo Verde, although it doesn't get any water at all, has grown into a monster to where I'm really glad we didn't get a lot of monsoon storms because I worry about this tree landing on my garage. When I saw him outside one day, I kind of hinted towards, wow, this tree is really big. It's hanging over my garage. Do you mind if I trim it? Thinking he would get the idea that he should have this tree trimmed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, yeah, go ahead. But he didn't get the hint. So I'm just...
Well, I think his response was fairly appropriate. You know, if you want to trim it, trim it. And actually, you're entitled to prune any part of the tree that's hanging over on your side of the property. And he doesn't have an obligation to trim it for you. So, you know, that's kind of where you're at. You know, you were playing poker together, and I guess he read your bluff. I mean, that's all I can tell you.
Yeah. So can you suggest, I mean, if it lands on my garage, is it my responsibility or is it his?
Well, you know? you're aware of the fact it's hanging over your garage, right? And it's on your side. So it's I think it's your responsibility.
Okay. Just trim it off of my garage.
Just trim it off your garage. Or maybe what I would do is I'd take him over a glass of iced tea this afternoon when it's really hot and say, hey, how about we just hire somebody to come out and prune this tree and I'll split it with you.
Yeah. It's really big. And well, I just don't think he's really aware.
Well, and you can reduce,
you know how new homes
is it a desert museum, Palo Verde?
I'm not really sure.
It looks bright
and strong. And it's
bright green foliage or kind of gray foliage?
Pretty bright green.
Okay, so it's probably a desert museum. And they really are the fastest growing because they're a hybrid. So, and you can prune them any time of the year. Right now would be fine. And, you know, I would see if maybe you could work together on that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Good luck, Paula.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bob in Sun City. Good morning, Bob.
Hi, Brian. I have two questions. One, I have a baby lime tree, and then I have a mature grapefruit tree. The baby lime tree is about 4 years old and starting to get fruit on it. I don't know what kind of lime tree it is. The limes are about the size of a fist. They're very large limes, and they are coming off of only like one or two branches on it so far. First of all, based on my description, can you tell me?
Yeah, it's a bear's lime, Bob.
Bear's lime, okay. Mm-hmm. I have like five large limes coming off of like two branches only. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, it may be that it is growing up from the rootstock as well. So you might have one that the rootstock has grown up, and that part might not be a viable portion of the tree. What I would do is look where the branch is that's producing the fruit. And if you can follow that branch all the way down low, and the other branches, uh-huh. The foliage looks a little different, they could very well be a rootstock, which would be a rough lemon of some sort.
Okay. Does that have anything to do with pollination, maybe?
No. No, it's going to have to do with the maybe just the age of the tree too. But if the foliage looks different, you know, you probably have some macrophylla rootstock growing up from the bottom, and you'll probably want to cut everything away except for the portion that has the limes on it.
Okay, everything looks normal. It looks very healthy. It's doing mm-hmm. very well, and it had no stress from the summer at all. So I can't figure out what's going on there. So.
Well, that's why I would track the tree down, look at the branch it's fruiting, okay, and make sure if the foliage all looks the same, it's probably all lime. But bear's limes, you know, historically don't fare near as well here as Mexican limes do. And the smaller Mexican lime is going to be a lot more productive. And the thing with bear's limes, they usually only live about 8 to 10 years.
Oh, okay. And when do you harvest those?
They're green. You could harvest them right now. Commercially, they'd be picked just like they are on the tree now. And if you leave a lime on the tree long enough, it'll actually ripen and turn yellow.
Oh, yeah, because they're huge right now, and they're very large. Okay, so I can pick them now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And secondly, I have a mature grapefruit tree. It's about 25, 30 years old, I'm guessing. And It's about 15 feet away from my neighbor's tree, same type of tree. His tree got some kind of disease and it's half dead. That disease appears to have jumped over to my tree because it's my tree is looking like it's going down now.
Bob, you know, a lot of the grapes. Bob, I've got to take a break for the news. You want to hold on?
Sorry.
Okay. We'll be right back after the news with Mr. Troy Barrett. He's in the studio. He's live. We'll be right back with the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show.
An old cowboy right now, going knocking wind today. A potter in tree yesterday, he went along his way. When all at once, mighty heard a rap sweet song out through the ragged sky. Bones are black and shiny, and their hot breath you can feel. Hold the spirit to him as they thunder through the sky. Now the rider's coming on.
Back, folks. Beautiful Sunday morning here. Going to be a little warm, but that's all right. Back to the phones. Bob in Sun City. Hey, Bob.
Hi. Okay, so my 25-year-old grapefruit tree is about 15 feet away from my neighbor's tree. My neighbor's tree appears to have gotten some kind of disease. Maybe,
well, it's probably not a bee disease, Bob. And in Sun City, how do you water?
I have it on a automatic system. I water it about once a week for about 45 minutes.
Okay. It would be better probably to water it once every 2 weeks. Is it bleeding any sap out of the wood?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I have to look. I don't know.
Well, so what I would do with it right now is we talked about the grapefruits earlier in the program. I would prune it back severely, fertilize it, okay, and paint any of the wood that's exposed to the sun white, and it should come back out. Now, if you see any sap coming out of the wood, you could treat it with a combination of Monterey disease control and or copper sulfate. And that's what kills Phytophthora, which is a soil fungus, which is oftentimes a problem. And truthfully, in Sun City, because we have such heavy clay soil and caliche underneath, weekly watering is probably more than it'll need for the rest of the year. It's good in the summertime, but right now I'd probably change the watering cycle to once every 2 weeks. But when you water it now, fertilize it, water it, cut it back, and you should arrest the problem, and it should grow back out over the next couple months.
Really? Okay, because the leaves don't look green. They look like they're...
They're sunburned, Bob. I would be sunburned if I was in your yard all day and never got to move either.
Okay, but my neighbor's tree had this problem. It's been going on for about 3 years before the heat.
Well, the Phytophthora is bad, and it can be in citrus all over, and we don't have to have extreme heat to cause Phytophthora. It's a soil fungus that goes into the tree system, and it's very common here in the valley, and it's usually worse when people water too frequently and keep the ground wet. It's kind of like getting athlete's feet, which is another fungus.
Oh.
Okay?
So you're saying once a week is too often, huh?
Well, not in the summertime when it's real hot, okay? But for the rest of the year now in Sun City, because of your soil type, it would be too often. So this time of year going forward, I change it to every 2 weeks. But get all those corrections made first in one good deep irrigation. Bob, thanks for the call. Okay. Tom and Scottsdale, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. I've got an area of grass that I put Roundup on a couple, 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And how soon can I start planting shrubs in that area?
Today.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Some of the grass may come back. You know, really, it's not always 100% kill with the Roundup on it. But you can come back and spot spray even after you have the shrubs in there with a product called Fusilade. And so it's a selective herbicide that won't hurt your shrubs but will kill grass. So if you go ahead and plant now. The Roundup, once it hits the ground dry, is not going to affect any plants.
Okay, and it doesn't do anything bad to the soil, then?
Well, it's debatable, and you know we're not going to go into the debate because we could spend 2 hours on talking about it. But realistically, practically, no.
Okay. Okay, great. I appreciate the info.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye. Lucy in Phoenix. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning. I have a question about an evergreen pear. I planted three smaller ones together because I wanted to achieve a wider look, and I didn't have the money to buy a great big one. So I've achieved it in 3 years, what I would have had to wait for 10. But now my question is, I have a lot of foliage around the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's wide. It's almost like a square. When can I start trimming some of that out? I have planted Ruella all along to protect, because it gets western exposure, mm-hmm. all along the you know, the bottom of it. But I need to start pruning some of the lower out. When can I do that?
You could do some moderate pruning on it right now, Lucy, and start to prune
it
a little bit.
For hurt it?
No, it's not going to hurt it. And if you want to do major pruning, I would do that.
No, nothing major, because it's achieving exactly what I wanted it to achieve, except it's down a little lower. I mm-hmm. want it to go up a little higher.
Yeah, minor pruning right now is fine. You don't want to expose any of the wood that's not got bark on it yet to full sun. So if it's that smooth wood.
Yeah, see, it wouldn't, because the Ruella is covering all that up. It's grown up into the tree, which is marvelous.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you so much.
Prune away. Bye, Lucy. Chris in Queen Creek. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Two questions. I'd like to do a relatively major trimming on dwarf myrtle. When can I do that?
Major pruning on it. There's kind of a trick to dwarf myrtle, if you want to, is you can prune one side back pretty heavily and leave it for a couple weeks and let it pop new buds on that side, and then prune the other side back. But I would say as soon as we're going to have this weather break, and if we kind of take a look at our forecast for the next couple weeks, realistically at 100 degrees and 75 at night, that myrtle's going to start to grow like crazy again. It's perfect weather for it. So that being said, you know, you could start pruning it next week. But if you want to come back faster and look better sooner, you can go ahead and prune half of the plant, you know, this week, wait 2-3 weeks and prune the other half. And the other, you know, pointer with these dwarf myrtles, Chris, is that, you know, they want to grow kind of like a fan shape, where they're narrow at the hip and wider in the shoulders. And you want to prune them just the opposite. You want to prune them so that they're narrower at top and wider at the base. And that'll keep them full to the ground. And they'll be a better looking plant that way.
Okay. Iceberg roses.
Mm-hmm.
When should I trim some of that up, and when should I fertilize it?
You should trim them and fertilize them this week. You know, pruning them back about a third, you know, and open them up. Now, icebergs, oftentimes we just kind of hedge them and don't do the pruning like we would with a hybrid tea. But prune them this week and fertilize them this week. A little bit of extra magnesium or Epsom salt is beneficial as well, like a tablespoon or so per plant.
Okay. One more question real quick. The dwarf myrtle, like what percentage of that plant can I trim?
Well, you don't want
to, the temperature's right.
Well, but you can reduce its size dramatically, but you don't want to cut it all back and take all the foliage off it at one time, because it doesn't have a way to feed itself. And it probably would still come back, but it'll be very difficult for it. So and it's going to look kind of funny, and people might tease you about how you pruned it, but you'll be very, very satisfied with the results, because it'll come back a lot faster. So if you'll prune off about half of the pruning you want to do, let that refoliate, and then come back and prune the other half. If you want to really reduce its size, you can do that, but don't just cut it off all at once, or it's going to take a long time to recover.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye. Javier in Phoenix. Good morning, Javier.
How you doing? Good morning, sir.
Very fine.
Yes.
Thanks for asking.
Yes, I got a question about crepe myrtle. My wife is asking if they are common here in Arizona.
You know, they are pretty common here. There's lots of different varieties, and I wouldn't recommend planting them in rock, though really through the heat they fared well, you know, much better in July than I thought they would have. And they can be a pretty plant with nice flowers. They come in all kinds of forms, from big trees to small shrubs. But they've done quite well from the heat.
When we can plant them?
I would say the best time to plant them, Javier, would be October.
Okay, sir. Thank you for your help. Thank you very much.
Have a nice weekend, Javier. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, let's see. Next up, we've got Les in Phoenix. But after Les, believe it or not, we have the first time we're going to have open phones after Les. And I see Miss Shira back here smiling. So she's just waiting for your phone calls. Give her a call, 602-277-5827, 277-KTAR. Good morning, Les.
Good morning. Hey, I never thought I'd have to call about this one. It's a ponytail palm, but I guess it's part of the asparagus family. It's not really a palm.
No, it's like a grass plant kind of thing. It's a monocot still.
But it's got a beautiful, you know, looks like an elephant foot at the mm-hmm. bottom, you know. Well, I have two side by side against the north side of the house, and they've always done great. Now, just one of them is yellowing and not looking very good. Now, I had a queen palm that looked that way, and I gave it manganese sulfate.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a similar cure for this?
Well, you know, it'd probably be better to feed it with a balanced fertilizer. You know, instead of just hitting one element, go ahead and feed it with a balanced fertilizer. And you could do even like a 20-20-20 or Miracle-Gro or a citrus food. All those would be fine. And it's stressed from the heat we had back in, you know, in July. We have a very large one in our backyard that was awfully yellow. And they'll green back up. But go ahead and feed it. It's just like a sago palm in the fact that they get really yellow when it's hot. But they'll green back up as the weather cools. And it looks like we have a fantastic forecast. So I'd feed it now, and it'll green up.
All right.
Thanks, Les.
Awesome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Carlos at Apache Junction, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, enjoying the day, Carlos.
Perfect. Hey, I have a question about treating the ground for weeds. So my wife does not want to use any type of chemicals or herbicides. So I go out there with a torch and sometimes drag around a mat with my tractor. We have an acre. And is there any type of pre-emergent that does not have, per se, herbicides that we can protect the ground
pre-emergents in and of themselves are herbicides, okay? And that's what they do. And what pre-emergents do is they keep the seed from germinating. But especially with like that nice little yellow weed we have out there, you know, recently covering our desert, you can completely arrest that by putting down pendimethalin. And pendimethalin is one that we use in agriculture quite a bit. We can't use it in organic agriculture. You know, we have to hand hoe everything out of a couple hundred acres, so it's a lot of work, or tractor them. But at any rate, if you'll put down the pre-emergent here, you know, within the next week, especially if we have that rain, if we could, you know, put the pre-emergent down tomorrow and get a rain on it, and that's what it takes to activate it. So if you have everything all clean, you put down your pre-emergent, that'll stop the winter weeds from coming in. And, you know, naturally in the desert with the patina and with the creosote bushes and things, there's like almost like natural herbicides that come out of some of the desert plants. And if you'll notice, you know, weeds don't grow under creosotes unless you disturb the soil. And so if you can get the pre-emergent down like twice, put it down now and again in January, you probably won't have many weeds for a couple of years unless you break the soil. So as soon as, you know, if you look out in the desert, you know, you don't see tumbleweeds growing out in the open desert until somebody drives a pickup across the desert. And then once you break that natural, you know, barrier, then that comes up. And that's the same thing that pre-emergents do at your home. And some pre-emergents, like I say, like pendimethalin, I find to be quite safe. You know, we've used it extensively. And if we didn't, it'd just be a nightmare controlling weeds in our nurseries. You know, we have hundreds of acres of nurseries, but you can't use them. And your wife is absolutely correct. There's still chemicals, and we can't use them in organic agriculture.
Okay. So nothing around my fruit trees.
Well, I would put it, you know, if I could use pre-emergence in my groves and still stay certified organic, trust me, Carlos, I would put it down. You know, we spend tens of thousands of dollars every year getting rid of weeds. But what we've learned to do is we do, you know, in our one grove, we do a no-till farming practice. So basically, we don't till the soil. We don't turn the soil. You know, we don't drag the soil with our flat drags unless it gets out of hand. And then we'll drag it a time or two, and then we'll hoe for a year or two. And then once the trees get big enough in our orchards, we get more shade and have less weed seed, so that it becomes less and less of a problem over time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Carlos. Bye-bye. Mike in Phoenix. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful, sir.
Good. Hey, I have a question. My wife and I have a small lot in West Phoenix, you know, in a subdivision. We want to plant a couple of citrus trees. We want to do a lemon and an orange, mostly for juicing. So kind of want to know what the best of each of those would be for that, and what kind of, like, prep I need to do for the soil before we plant them.
Well, Mike, you get more yield out of a Meyer lemon juice for juice than you do out of a Lisbon lemon. But I would use one of the two, and it depends which one you like better. The Meyer lemon's a cross with the Mandarin. It's a little bit sweeter than a Lisbon lemon is, but it's got a thinner rind and produces more yield, so you get more juice on it. Orange Wise, probably the most popular one that's really good and gives you a different season are Valencias. So you could do Valencias. You can find some sweets. Most of the sweet varieties, though, the fruit's going to be smaller, and the Valencia has been improved a lot more. With my grandfather, you know, back in the 60s, and he grew them back in the 40s and 50s, we grew a lot of different varieties of Arizona sweets. But the Arizona sweets today aren't probably as good. And we're looking at maybe bringing back some of these, like the Diller Sweet and some different ones. But they're not really very available right now. So I would probably go Valencia and Meyer if you want the most yield.
Okay. When's the best time to plant them, and what kind of prep should I do for the soil to make sure they're successful?
Now is a fantastic time to plant them. You know, by the time you get one this week, the weather's going to be 102 and 75, and that couldn't be better than any. It's best weather of the year for growing citrus, and a great time to plant them, and they'll grow a lot between now and the end of October. And as far as planting them, you want to dig a hole about twice as wide and probably 6 or 8 inches deeper. The soil you remove, you want to blend with about one-third of an organic material. And then basically you want to make sure that when you plant the tree, it's not planted too deep. That'll cause all kinds of problems. You really can't plant them too high, but you can certainly plant them too deep. So when you have the tree in the container, look for what we call the root flare. That's usually going to be within the top half inch or inch in a container grown plant. And you want to leave that soil level the same when you plant it as when it came in the container. So you don't want to plant them any deeper. And the one other big trick is to take a hose and either put it in the hole before you put before you put all the fill back in, or else to push it down with the full pressure down beside the tree. Water from the bottom up the first time, that'll take out any air pockets you might have, and then come right back on top of that and go ahead and feed them, okay? Because that organic material, some of that's going to eat nitrogen, so come back and feed them. And if you feed them once a month while they're young, you can cut off the fertilizer, you know, December, January, February. But if you'll feed them, you know, once a month, and then start, you know, feeding them again back, pretty much we always say Valentine's Day. And once a month all year, make sure the trunks are wrapped to protect them from the sun, and come buy them from Whitfield's. We grow a lot of them.
I will do that. There's one near me. So,
thank you, Michael.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a short break. While we're gone, we do have Mike's line available. Number to call, 602-277-5827 for the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show, here every Sunday from 7 to 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM, KTAR.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would without you?
I hate to cut into the Beach Boys, but I have to give you a little pointer. If you want to look up that video for that song with the Beach Boys, it's filmed from the top of South Mountain. And quite a view up there. And, you know, South Mountain kind of gets left out sometimes. But, you know, I drove up there the other morning and watched the sunrise. And I'll tell you what a beautiful place to be. And if you're not much of a hiker, or perhaps you're handicapped, you know what? You want to enjoy the mountains and the high altitude. It's a great place you can drive to and have picnics. Let's see. I want to take a minute and invite you out to Whitfield's. You know, Whitfield's, we grow trees, all kinds of trees, all sizes. From 15-gallon citrus to 72-inch box shade trees, whatever your dreams, come out and see us. We deliver, plant, and guarantee. We're licensed, bonded, and insured. Fall is on the way. It's probably the best time to plant big shade trees, but it's still a great time for us to plant right now. All kinds of citrus, palm trees, perfect for desert trees, mesquites, palo verdes, and ironwoods. They'll get a lot bigger jump if you'll get them in sooner on the desert trees. And they really kind of go dormant, don't grow much after November. So with the desert trees, you really want to get them in now. With the shade trees, any time in the next couple months is great for pistachios, ashes, and elms, and all the traditional things. And if you lost a few trees and summer was a little hot, come out and see us. Our original store is at 824 East Glendale. We're in the East Valley of Cooper, which is the same as Stapley and Guadalupe, or 2647 East Southern Avenue, Southern Avenue, straight south of Sky Harbor Airport. Whitfield Nursery. Since 1940s with my grandparents, and now for four generations, growing trees here in Arizona for Arizona's future. Back to the phones. Looks like we have Eric in Phoenix. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How's it going? Thank you for the call. Hey, I got a couple questions. You're talking about trees. I'm looking, just moved into downtown Phoenix. I want a shady, kid-friendly tree. What do you recommend?
Well, probably one of the easiest, hardiest are red-pushed pistachios. And the pistachios are very dark green, and what makes them especially nice is that they'll, be a dark green, very hardy here, very drought tolerant, very water wise tree, and you can water it, pretty heavy in the heat of the summer, but really want to back off the water in the wintertime. But it'll grow into a nice 30-foot tree with a big canopy. It's a good climbing tree. Elms would be another good climbing tree, and so would ash. But all those would be good shade trees to grow. In a downtown area. And this, depending on the size area you have to plant, there are different species of ash. There's one called a raywood, which would be a smaller tree. But
What do you think about that ficus tree? Because I've been seeing a lot of those.
Well, there's a lot of ficus trees around. And we have some in my own house. And I have another kind of a fun tree called a jamblin plum, which is one that has big leaves kind of like the ficus, which is one of my daughter's favorite climbing trees. So ficus are fine. They're not going to grow a lawn underneath them. And the difference with growing with an evergreen tree like a ficus, it's going to shed all the time. So it's going to have a lot more litter, but there's certainly a nice, attractive tree. You can get one that's multiple trunks so that, it's easy to climb up into.
Awesome. I got one more question. What about for the house kind of close there downtown? Looking for something like a privacy bush.
Mm-hmm. To grow how tall?
The walls of the...
What we use a lot of in Central Phoenix are a lot of sour orange trees. And sour orange is a citrus tree that's grown and pruned, so you can shear it pretty tight, and it doesn't burn in the heat, and it doesn't freeze in the wintertime, and it can even offer some security if you wanted to on your property. But it's a pretty darn easy tree to grow for a hedge like that. And you can, at the same time, if you wanted just to grow some citrus and hedge them, you could put in like other citrus varieties and just hedge them up against the wall and still get some fruit with maybe some limes or lemons or oranges or tangerines, whatever you enjoy.
Wow. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Eric. Bye-bye. I got to say goodbye because it's the end of the hour. I was just reminded by the lovely Shira. We'll be right back after the news with the Whitfield Nursery Garden Show.